Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh is daf. Wow. We're getting ahead over here. Daf Pei. Oh my gosh. All right. So, Harchev Picha V'Amaleu. This is the daf. So let's get back into the sugya over here because it's really a very beautiful, bit complex, but a beautiful sugya. Remember that we were really, really confused by the Mishnah. Let's just review that so that we can get a clear sense of what's going on. The Mishnah was coming to tell me which Nedarim a Baal can be Mefer. Now, instead of telling me all the Nedarim that a Baal can be Mefer, it talks about Nidrei Inui Nefesh. We mentioned, remember yesterday, the Machlokas between the Rambam and the other Rishonim as to whether this is a Din Dafkan a Baal, or whether this is true even about a father and a daughter. Okay, fine. For some reason, we're talking about specifically Nedarim Sheyesh Bem Inui Nefesh. We haven't said anything about Dvarim Shebeno Levina. And so, the Mishnah gave examples. The examples made absolutely no sense. Why? Because it never said what the neder was. It said, if a woman makes a condition that if I shower, if I don't shower, yes, but didn't say what. It just said, if I shower, if I don't shower, which is like, what kind of neder is that? So we didn't even understand what the Mishnah is trying to say, right? And then what's even crazier is that comes along Rabbi Yossi and says, well, those are not Nidrei Inui Nefesh. What are not Inui? We didn't talk about a neder. Does he mean those conditions are not considered to be Inui Nefesh? And let's assume for a moment that those conditions are Inui Nefesh, right? So then, first of all, the language is the issue. I mean, you said these are Nidrei Inui Nefesh. And what would we be gaining by making it a Tanai instead of discussing the Neder directly? How does that make any sense? And in the event that they're not Inui Nefesh, does that mean when Rabbi Yossi says, Ein Elo Nidrei Inui Nefesh, does he mean you can't be made for them? Or does he mean, no, these you can't be mefer because of Inui Nefesh, but you could be mefer because of Dvarim Shebeno Levina, and this would be the way that we're being introduced to the other strangely missing element of the things that a Baal is allowed to be mefer. So all of this, like, right off the bat, doesn't make any sense. Okay, now, what would be considered Nidrei Inui Nefesh? Oh, says Rabbi Yossi, I'll tell you. Let's say she answers herself in all of the Paris of the Oilam. Okay, so then he can be Mefer. On the other hand, if she said, Perot Medina Zo Alai, that's not such a tragedy. He can always bring Perot from somewhere else. And we talked yesterday about that, meaning that it's not the local country's produce that's the problem. It's that she talks about a specific countries. She doesn't want to buy any food from Turkey. Okay, so he can bring her other food. Now, what about, she says, this particular makolet is asra. I mean, I can't go to that, to the supermarket. So I want to go to another supermarket. Is that a problem? So then ain't a yochel ha'afer. But suppose the only makolet that will give him credit is this particular store. So then he's in trouble if he doesn't take it. So there ain't a chinami. Im lo hayta panasato alimeno areze yafer. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So the question that the Gemara asked right away was obviously, why doesn't the Mishnah mention that the Dvarim Shebeno Levina? So we explained yesterday that there's a big difference between Dvarim Shebeno Levina, which one can be mefer even where, only where they affect his relationship. And that could be affecting his relationship in terms of his ability to remarry her. So if she said something that would affect their ability to be married, so then he would be able to be mefer. But suppose he divorces her and now she goes and marries somebody else. And then he'll never be able to remarry her, right? By definition, because it's ma'azir grushasa. At that point, his hafara disappears because he couldn't affect someone else's relationship. So we came out that that's what the Mishnah is trying to say. It's trying to say, let me show you, Nedarim, that a husband can be mefer under any and all circumstances, whether it affects him or whether it affects someone else. And those are Dvarim Shebeno Levina, which relate to her relationship to the world and not to her relationship to him. Okay, that's fair. Now, we go on to say that here's examples. Im erchatz, im lo erchatz. So let's take a look at that again now at the bottom of Ayin Tet. The Gemara says, okay, that's the condition. What the heck is the netter, for heaven's sakes? What did she say? I understand. Hechi kamar. What did she say that makes this a netter? I don't get it. I mean, if you're going to say that we're assuming that she said something that is for sure a dover that is inoy nefesh. She said, I'm not going to be able to eat any peiros at all, anywhere on the earth. I mean, that's, nobody in his right mind could say that's not inoy nefesh. So maybe that's what she said. She said that if I shower today, or if I don't shower today, then I won't be able to eat any peiros in the world. Okay, I mean, if the Mishnah's leaving it open to our imagination, I suppose we could easily talk about the standard case of crazy nadarim that the husband would have to get involved in. I mean, it's still weird, isn't it? Why did we make a condition? Why didn't you just tell me the netter? So then, let's assume that that's what she would say. Then the obvious question is, well, the netter may be nidri inu nefesh, but if the tanai is not inu nefesh, so then let her just not take a shower and not be usher in eating, right? So why are we talking about hafara? I don't understand. We don't need hafara. You're telling me she's in desperate straits. She's not going to be able to eat. No, she's not. She's not in desperate straits. She's not going to be able to take a shower. So why is that desperate straits? Let her not take a shower. I mean, obviously, the shower per se, not showering, that doesn't seem to be an inui nefesh, because, I mean, otherwise you could just say that's the netter. You don't have to say that's the tanai, right? If I shower then, I mean, fine, so let her not shower. If not showering per se is inui nefesh, then just give me the example of the netter. A woman says, I won't shower. Her husband is able to be made for the netter. I mean, that's ridiculous to give us a case where the only reason she can't shower is because if she does shower, so then she's not going to be able to eat. It's like, what is the Mishnah doing? So we don't need hafara. Lama la hafara. I understand. Let her not take a shower and let her not be usher in the peirot. I mean, if you're making this the condition, so then whatever. I mean, and I mean, if that's the case, I mean, but what that would mean is that we're assuming that if the netter is avoidable, so then we don't have the din of hafara. That's what the Gemara's question seems to be based on. Now, you'll notice that that itself is a bit of a problem, right? Because before we said that a husband can be mefer even something that hasn't gone into effect. That was a machlokas, it's true, but obviously, I mean, we're talking over here along the lines of that shita, in which the possibility of doing the hafara now obviously exists. In which case, we're going to have to say that what it is that our Gemara holds is according to the shita that we found before, and that we're going to get into again later, the Machlokes Reb Nosson and the Chachamim, can you be made for a netter before it's chal? So why isn't this part of that? That's a valid question. The Ron discusses that question at length, and he's mechalik between cases where the thing is dependent in her and is not going to bring her to inui nefesh. So then the cases that we had earlier are things that she could not be oimed or will probably not be able to be oimed by. Things that she's going to end up doing and we have to assume are going to happen, and that therefore you could be mefer. But if there's no reason to assume they're going to happen, because right now the Gemara believes that the actual not showering is not considered to be inui nefesh, which seems to be what the Mishnah is saying. It's saying that, isn't it? It's saying it can only function as a tanai. That's the most that it could be. Okay, so then if that's the point, so then, I mean, obviously you could ask, so what's the chiddush? Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. But if you're telling me, says the Gemara, that in effect, you can go ahead now and be made for a netter, even though it was not chal yet, and even though, and here's the point, even though what it is that she would do right now was avoidable. So then where does that come from? Let her not put the netter into effect. Let her not shower. Okay, so clearly, if showering is inui nefesh, then that should have been the netter, not the tanai. If showering is not inui nefesh, then let her not shower. And why would we be able to be made for, even according to the Chachamim, who hold that theoretically you could be made for before the netter is chal, but why should you need hafara? And therefore, why should we give you the koyach of hafara? The Torah gave you a koyach of hafara where she's probably going to be nichshelet in it. But if it's not inui nefesh, she won't be. So I don't understand what the Mishnah is saying. Okay. So, and even if you get out of that, okay, I mean, explain Rabbi Yossi. Let's say you'll say the Chachamim hold that ultimately she's going to end up getting into this position, and somehow or other it will be considered even in the netter an inui nefesh. But let's leave that at the side. How do you explain Rabbi Yossi? Are you trying to tell me that a netter that I won't eat anything of this Medina, of the world, I mean, is not considered to be inui nefesh? That's insane. Who would hold that's not inui nefesh? She's never going to be able to eat any produce of the earth. I mean, what bigger inui nefesh is there than that? I don't get it. Bohalema Rabbi Yossi ein elu nidre inui nefesh. How could he say that? I mean, let's say we agree. Not showering is not inui nefesh. But what would happen if she would take a shower and then the whole parent of the whole world would be usher on her, right? And if that, I mean, yes, it's possible that Rabbi Yossi is saying the same thing that you just argued about the Tanakama. Namely, let her not shower and let her not be usher. But then what he should have said is the husband cannot be mefer because she's not going to be ma'ane nafsha. But that's not what he said. He says, that netter, that's not inui nefesh. What netter? Not to eat? That's not inui nefesh? How could that not be inui nefesh? So obviously the netter cannot be a netter that is unbelievably and inarguably inui nefesh. Rabbi Yossi would never be able to discuss a netter that I will not eat any peros, and he'll call that not inui nefesh, right? So no matter how we learn it, again, I know that I'm talking a lot over here, but I feel that I'm not getting any responses with these dead faces to the underlying issues. The language of the Mishnah is our problem. It's how we can't figure out ourselves what Nidre Inui Nefesh is. Is that the Mishnah is trying to say something and we're not catching what it's trying to say. It made a tanai instead of a netter. It didn't tell us what the netter is. If it's allowing us to assume that the netter is an inarguably inui nefesh, then how could Rabbi Yossi say it's not inui nefesh? It's nuts. So you'll say, well, maybe he didn't say it's not inui nefesh. He just said that that condition is not inui nefesh, and therefore don't trigger the netter. No, that's not what he says. He says, ein elu nidre inui nefesh. He doesn't say, let her not shower. He's saying, the consequences is not, doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother you. So what happens if she's not going to be able to eat Perot HaOlam? So that's nuts. Okay. So then we're going to have to assume, look, there would only be two possibilities here, right? We're not going to say that the netter was left up to our imagination and that what she said was, if I take a shower, I'm not allowed to put mustard on my hot dogs. That we're not going to say. Why not? Because where the heck would that come from? We only have two choices. Either we're talking about the maximal, inarguably, inui nefesh netter, which is that I'm asring peros olam alai. So fine, that the Mishnah can say. If you guys understand that this is an absolute case of inui nefesh, then I want to be mechadesh to you that even in the event that she only will trigger this netter through something that's lack of is not inui nefesh, nonetheless the baal can be made for, right? That's what we're trying to say is maybe what the Tanakama is saying. But then we won't get any sense at all in Rabbi Yossi avoiding any discussion of the netter per se, of the tanai per se, and all he talks about is the netter. And then there'd be no way for him to deny that. So we're in trouble. There's only one other possibility. The other possibility is that the Tanai is the other format of the contents of the Neder itself. In other words, if she says, if I don't shower, okay, then what? Then I will never shower. Okay, that makes sense. So that puts us into an interesting situation. If she first showers, however she says it, if I do take a shower, I'll never take a shower again. Can she take a shower now? Yes. Okay, so then if she can take a shower now, you'll say, all right, so then she's going to be usher in showering. I understand. But right now, is she in a state of inui nefesh? No. So that would be a big kiddush, that the Mishnah would be saying that even though her first shower is fine, but since this involves inui nefesh, therefore she is already considered to be in a state of being unable to shower. Because if she doesn't shower, and therefore the neder doesn't go into effect, then she doesn't shower. And if she does shower, then she'll never be able to shower. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that, look, since ipso facto, she is stuck because of a catch-22, whatever it is that she does, right? Okay, so then that's the chiddush, that you could be made free anyway under those circumstances. Now, that would make sense, according to the Rabbanan. Fine, so let's first take that. So let's say she says, I asur myself in showers if I take a shower. So then I understand that the point over here is that it's a catch-22. That's why it's allowed to be mefer, right? Because you ask yourself, all right, so what's a girl supposed to do under these circumstances? If she does take a shower, then she'll never be able to shower again. And if she doesn't take a shower, so then she's in the same state as being usher for taking the shower. Because anyway, it's going to be Dvarim Shel Inui Nefesh. Therefore, comes along the Mishnah to tell us a Chiddush that a catch-22 situation is allowing you to be made for his husband. That's a nice Chiddush, right? Very, very simple and understandable. Problem is that when you go on and try to figure out what Rabbi Yossi is saying, it makes no sense at all, right? Because what does Rabbi Yossi hold? You could say that Rabbi Yossi holds that, look, she does not have to shower, and we don't care about the fact that she's going to become disgusting. That's not called inui nefesh. So, okay, so then why are we talking about the Tanai? So then the point would be very, very cute. Because if that would be so, then it would be telling us a fascinating thing. This neder is not a problem of inui nefesh, but it is a problem of peinola veina, because you're not going to be able to stand having her around the house, and therefore you can be made for the neder because of your problems, but not because of her problems. So what Rabbi Yossi would be stressing was, look, the fact that she's going to stink to high hell, that's not called inui nefesh, but it is called dvarim shebeinola veina. Okay, so let's think about that for a moment, because first of all, if it's really that Rabbi Yossi does not hold that showering or not showering is considered to be an inui nefesh issue, why are we talking about the neder? Why doesn't Rabbi Yossi simply say, this condition does not involve inui nefesh? I mean, we're telling me, this is not a neder of inui nefesh. So what would that imply? That if the neder was inui nefesh, in other words, let's say that the neder was not that I won't ever be able to shower. The neder was that I'll never eat peirot of the earth again, right? And Rabbi Yossi is saying, look, if the neder would have been that kind of neder, then I agree. But it's not that kind of neder at all, because basically it's not involving something that involves inui nefesh. Is it true? Is that true? Let's say the neder would have been, I'll never eat again. And that's what Rabbi Yossi is trying to say. So then is that the issue, whether the neder is inui nefesh? If according to Rabbi Yossi, not showering is not considered to be inui nefesh, then we're back with what we said before about the Tanna Kamma. If the Tanai can be avoided, how can it be avoided? Don't shower. What do you mean, don't shower? But then that's inui nefesh. No, I don't agree. I don't think that inui nefesh involves not showering. I think that's a different question. Bein ola vein na. So if that's the point, that the issue of showering or not showering, then we're not talking about, that's not inui nefesh, and we're not talking about a neder of inui nefesh. Is that clear? If we take for granted that if the neder doesn't go into effect, and it's avoidable, that you don't have a right to be made for, that was our first assumption when we started analyzing the Mishnah, correct? If that's the problem, so let her not do it. So then we ended up saying, okay, fine, you're right. But then we don't understand Rabbi Yossi. Okay, good, so we changed it. We changed it to be a catch-22. If I do shower, then I'll never shower. Excellent, beautiful. Explain now Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi is saying it's not a neder of inui nefesh, meaning what? Not showering is not a neder of inui nefesh. Of course, if it was a real neder of inui nefesh, such as I'll never eat, then you would be able to be mefer. Why? Did the neder go into effect? No. It'll only go into effect if she takes a shower. Does she have to take a shower? No, because Rabbi Yossi says not showering is not considered to be inui nefesh, and therefore it's not something that people will inevitably do. There are plenty of slobs in the world who make a point of never taking a shower. Some of you must have teenagers like that, right? Okay, so if that's the case, so then we don't understand Rabbi Yossi. Because the question of whether the neder is inui nefesh or not inui nefesh is irrelevant. We're talking about the t'nai. And the t'nai, he's saying, is not inui nefesh. So explain to me, so what is he saying? I mean, if that's the point, so then, efshar de lo rachatza, laniva lo chashina, then what Rabbi Yossi should have said is simply, this t'nai does not involve inui nefesh. Let her not shower. Why does he focus on the neder not being inui nefesh? Which is mashma that if it would be inui nefesh, you would be able to be mefer, which is not true, because the t'nai itself did not go into effect. Okay, I got an idea. I got an amazing idea. The Mishnah is introducing a t'nai and a neder that are the same. The only difference is that the t'nai was limited in time. Namely, if I take a shower today, then I'll never shower again. Not if I ever take a shower. If I take a shower today, I'll never take a shower again. Okay. Now, what would be the machlokas if that's the case? So that would mean that in such a case, the Tanakhama is saying, look, not being able to shower for one day is also, it's an inui nefesh. If you need a shower, you're suffering if you're not taking a shower. Is that pretty clear from the halacha, by the way, as we'll see later on about Yom Kippur? If you take a shower on Yom Kippur, is that called violating inui nefesh? The Torah said, bima'ane nafshotechem, and beferish the halacha is, you're not allowed to take a shower. That's one day. So you say, okay, so fine. It wouldn't be inui nefesh not taking a shower. So you see for sure in the Torah that that's called inui nefesh. Which, of course, the Gemara is going to end up asking. If it's good enough for Yom Kippur, why is it not good enough to be made for a neder? Okay, we'll talk about that. So then, well, all that we're saying is that Rabbi Yossi holds, look, I agree with you, never showering is inui nefesh. But not showering for one day, that's not called inui nefesh. So therefore, I say, you're telling me that hana'at rechitza alai, you have to be made for now because the t'nai itself is still considered to be a catch-22. If you don't take a shower today, you're already going to be having inui nefesh. All right. And what it is that Rabbi Yossi holds, that's not called nivul at all. That's not called at all inui nefesh. Now, I would agree with you that if it were not inui nefesh, it would still perhaps be included in at least something you could be made for. Why? Because it's dvarim shebeino leveina. That's absolutely true. So what should Rabbi Yossi have said? Do you have the same question? Why don't you say this t'nai is not inui nefesh? How does this answer Rabbi Yossi? Oh, it answers Rabbi Yossi beautifully. Because what Rabbi Yossi is really trying to point out is that it may not be inui nefesh, but it would be dvarim shebeino levena. So if that's my main point, if I understand that Rabbi Yossi's chiddush is that just because something is not inui nefesh doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to be mefer. So then what should he have said? Well, this t'nai is not inui nefesh. What is it? Is it dvarim shebeino levena? No. Because for one day, Rabbi Yossi holds it's not even dvarim shebeino levena. That's the point. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, well, the neder never to take a shower is not dvarim shelinoi nefesh. It is only dvarim shebeino levena. And therefore, if you're mefer, do not make the mistake of thinking that the neder won't go into effect if she gets married to somebody else. It will go into effect. Whereas the way the Tanakam is learning it, the neder will never go into effect because it's dvarim shel inui nefesh. Okay? I know this is a bit complex, but it's such a beautiful focus on the meaning of every last word that really it should be enjoyable instead of looking confused. It's really a matter of learning the diyuk in the words and to see what possible direction the diyuk can be understood in, you see? So think about what the confusing issues are. The confusing issues are all fundamentally implications. If you're talking about a t'nai, does that mean that the t'nai is not a problem, but the neder alone is a problem? Does it mean that the t'nai itself has to be a problem? If you make a comment of the neder is not inui nefesh, does that necessarily imply that it is dvarim shebeino levena? It's just not nidri inui nefesh. Is that what it means? Is the fact that you don't say, this t'nai, you say, this neder, does that mean that when it comes to the t'nai, you believe that the t'nai is not a problem, but the neder is a problem? These are all the questions. And what we've done is created a case that addresses every last issue understood in opposite ways by the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. So it's really brilliant. We've zeroed in on such an amazing understanding of the Mishnah, even at this point, by pointing out that there's only two possible ways of understanding a crazy statement that pretends to be telling you about nidrei and nefesh and then talks about conditions. We've addressed that issue. It's crazy for us to be talking about something that is ipso facto inui nefesh and then turning it into condition instead of turning about the neder. No, it's not. There's a big chiddush in recognizing catch-22s as being sufficient to do hafara. It's crazy for Rabbi Yossi to say, ein elu nidrei inui nefesh, when what he really wants to say is ein b'tnai hazeh inui nefesh. No, it's not. Because Rabbi Yossi wants you to understand that his only objection is your terminology. Because by calling it inui nefesh, you're doing a terrible thing. You are claiming that this neder will never be chal on her, and that is going to put her into position of being over on a nisr d'oraisa. It is chal on her. If you ever get divorced, then it's going to be chal on her. Yes, you can be made for it, but don't mislead us by saying it's nidre yini nefesh. It's not. Furthermore, by separating it into a t'nai and into an actual neder, the Mishnah has allowed Rabbi Yossi to distinguish between something which is beino levena and something which is not beino levena, despite the fact that it's the same issue, showering. If it's only for one day, what a brilliant answer. Well, of course, what the Mishnah is going to talk about, if I shower, I can't shower. What does that mean? It's very reasonable. If I shower today, I don't want you using up all my hot water. If I shower today, I'll never shower. Whatever the situation is, I understand the situation. But the point is that now I understand. We're talking about the same issue, but we're not talking about the same impact of the issue. If it's for one day, it's forever. So we've taken a nonsensical Mishnah and we've turned it into something beautiful. That's something to smile about and not to look confused about. So just review that for yourselves. Okay. So then that must be what it means. So Rabbi Yossi holds an evil of one day. That's not a problem at all. And it's not even considered to be. You notice that he doesn't say that I don't care, like we said before. Leniva lo chayshina. That's what we said before. He's not saying that. He's not saying lo chayshinan. No, of course chayshinan. But it isn't nivul yet, because it's only been one day. So look at the difference in the language. It's perfect. Okay, says the Gemara, fine. I hear. That's pretty good. The problem is that the Mishnah didn't end there. You explained the first part, if I do shower. What about the second part? If I don't shower, that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? If you don't shower, then it's considered to be putting into effect a neder that I'll never shower again. So shower, you idiot! Then there's no relationship between the condition and the neder. You just go take a shower and get the heck out of here. I mean, what is that case? How are you going to explain that? Oh, that's true. Shanita im erchatz, but you didn't say im lo erchatz. So what's that case is? I mean, is she saying, I shall never shower again if I don't shower today? Like, I mean, that's what she said the implications are, that it's all going to be about showering, right? So I understand. How did Afara get her? Let her don't take a shower, for God's sake. Omer of Yehuda, no, what she must be saying is, not showering with water. She's talking about getting showered with lice medication, with something filthy. So it's talking about a mei mishre. That's what she's talking about. So the t'nai is, look, I gotta do this and jump into this filthy sewer water. And if I don't, then I'll never shower in my life. So she says, Hana'at rechitza alai, la'olam, im lo rechatz b'mei mishre. Okay, so the mei mishre, remember, that's where you put the pishtan in the process called redding, right? And that, the pishtan, the flax, it starts to be eaten up. The hard pieces start to be eaten up by bacteria, falls apart, the thing stinks. And finally, when all of the pods have dissolved, so then you've got yourself the raw flax that now you can comb and so on. So that really smells. Okay, let's say that's what it means. How are you going to explain the case in the Mishnah about imet kashet? Okay, imet kashet im lo et kashet. Go ahead, explain that. Imet kashet, I understand. Okay, so if I make myself look nice today, you know, and I put on my rouge, so then I will be osur forever. And im lo et kashet? What would be the equivalent case im lo et kashet? You're telling me showering would mean to jump into a sewer. Okay, fine. And what does et kashet mean? I mean, the only thing I can think of is if I don't decorate myself with kerosene. That's not called decorating yourself. If I don't use kerosene for my rouge today, fine, if that's what you said, but you didn't say that. You said, if I don't make myself beautiful with kerosene, that doesn't make you beautiful. So that can't be called et kashet, right? Im lo et kashet? Beneft? I mean, that's lichluchu. That's disgusting. I don't understand. How would you call that et kashet? So, no, I don't think this approach is very good, because even if you can manage to figure out that people would call jumping into a sewer washing off, but they're certainly not going to call spraying their face with kerosene perfume. They're not going to call that perfumeries. Okay, so forget about the et kashet. All right. So then what does it mean? So Amar Rav Yehuda, I'll tell you. What she says is that hana'at rechitza la'olam alai im erchatz hayom. So she does, what she means is, if I take a bath today, then I'll never be able to take the bath. Okay, like I said. And the second case of the im lo erchatz is not that she said im lo erchatz. She said shvu'a shelo erchatz. That's what she said. What do you mean im? Im means ki im. In other words, I am making an actual shvu'a. I am not going to be rochet. So in other words, the difference between case one and case two is that case one is a neder and case two is a shvu'a. I am committing myself not to shower. Shvua shelo erchatz. It's a different way of saying the same thing. So there is no t'nai in this. We misunderstood it. So therefore, I mean, we thought that we were talking about a Tanai, but now we're saying it's not a Tanai, it's a direct Shavua, and that's the whole idea. Okay, so if that's the case, then we're talking not about Nedarim necessarily. And then the second example in the Mishnah, it's the same thing. The first case is, I will answer myself on Kishut if I do Kishut today, so I can't put on any Rouge today. And the second case was, Im, meaning Ki Im, Loet Kashet, right? So I will not be mit kashet. So we find like examples of this as the Mefarshim point out, right? Im zichartiha yitzui. Okay, that means definitely I will. I'm committing myself to. Lo nikached me adoni ki im tama kesef. What does im mean over there? It's real. It's for sure, right? Tama kesef. Same thing is true over here. But then there's another problem, points out Ravina to Rav Ashi, that the Mishnah claimed to be talking about Nedarim, Elu Nedarim. And now you're telling me it's not really Nedarim, it's Nedarim and Shavuos. I mean, isn't that a little misleading? The Mishnah didn't seem to be presenting cases of Shavuos. It seemed to be presenting cases of Tanaim. So, hi, Elu Nedarim u'Shavuot v'boi Leilu Misei. Why didn't the Mishnah introduce itself honestly? I mean, why fool us into thinking we're talking about the Nedarim? No, right, says Ravashi. So read the Mishnah saying that Elu Nedarim u'Shavuos Shadam Mefer, because there's no difference in the din of Hafara between Nedarim and Shavuos anyway. Or you know what? You don't need to change anything because Shavuos are often referred to as Nedarim in the broadest sense. I'll prove it to you. Ibaitema, Shavuot Nami, Hainu Nedarim. How is that? Because, take a look at the Mishnah, the Tanai, where we had before. Kinidrei Rishaim, yeah. Kinidrei Rishaim surprisingly includes Shavuot. That's what it says. Because Nadar b'Nazir b'Korban u'b'Shavuot. So, what do you see from there? That the Lashon of Nidrei Rishaim includes the Shavuot that Rishaim would make. So, the same thing is shown over here. If you're talking about Elo Nedarim, you're talking about Elo Nedarim u'Shavuot, both. Okay. So now you're telling me the way that it's working out is that the Rabbanan hold that if you do not take a shower, that that's called Inui Nefesh. I got a problem. The problem is Yom Kippur, but not the way you thought, the opposite. If somebody takes a shower on Yom Kippur, is he chayev koras for being over on kol hanefesh asher lo teune? Now, it's true you're not allowed to take a shower, but suppose you did take a shower. What's the din? Take a look at this. Here it says in the Braita, af al pisha aser bekulam. So we're talking about the chameshet inuyim, which includes taking a shower, it includes eating, drinking, sicha, sex, all of those things are considered to be inuy nefesh. And the Braita says, but afa pisha aser bekulam, all of these things are aser, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be chayev koras if you were over on them. Eino onush karet ela ba'ochel v'shote v'yoseh melacha bilvad. So there is no iser koras of taking a shower. But if you are right, Rabbanan, that when you make the neder that is considered to be inuy nefesh, and a husband is able to be mefer, so then what you're saying is that if a person does not take a shower, that it's considered to be inui. So then why on Yom Kippur, if you take a shower, does the bride just say you're not chayev karet? So apparently it isn't really inui. So Yom HaKippurim kirachatz l'chayev karet? So how do you explain that? Amar Rava. Rava, this is Rava Shita in many places. Mi inyana dikra, a din and definition, is supplied by the Torah contextually, always contextually. And you have to see the difference contextually. It depends how the pasuk presents it. Let's take a look at Yom Kippur. Gabbai Yom HaKippurim, what does it say? Ta'anu et nafshoteichem. Right? So what does that mean? It means something that is at that point you are suffering from. Correct? Are you suffering as long as you're not in the shower? I understand. A guy took a shower 5 minutes before Yom Kippur. Now he's going to be mekabel on himself chameshes inuyim. Is he now suffering because he's not in the shower? Is he supposed to be in the shower all times? Of course not. So the issue, therefore, of inuy, as defined in Yom Kippur, clearly contextually means we want you to sense the deprivation. You're telling me that you sense the deprivation all day long because you didn't shower this second? No. So therefore, contextually, that's not what the Torah is referring to in terms of kol nefesh asher lo tu'uneh. But when it comes to nedarim, what does it say? It says kol neder, the kol shvuat isur, la'anot nefesh. La'anot nefesh means which will come to make you uncomfortable. Doesn't say right at this minute it's torturing you. So then it means milta da'atyali de'inoy, something that will bring it to inoy, ultimately. Well, will making a neder, I will not shower. Will that ultimately bring you to inoy? Yes. Does it mean right now you suffer? No. Okay, so then kilo rachatzav, she's never going to be able to take a shower. There's going to be a point at which it's going to be inoy, and that's therefore a completely different issue. Okay, now that means that we've got a machlokas over here between the Rabbanan and between Rabbi Yossi. In the definition of the inui that was given over to the Baal to be mefer. So according to Rabbi Yossi, the question of not taking a shower comes under the rubric of dvarim shebeino leveina, not dvarim shel inui nefesh. According to Rabbanan, it's dvarim shel inui nefesh. We have a sub-machloket about whether the one day, the way we understood it, as a t'nai of one day as opposed to forever. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's not even dvarim shebeino leveina. Fine, a sub-machloket. I got a problem. It seems that Rabbi Yossi contradicts himself because over here, he seems to be a little bit on the hippie side of what's considered to be proper cleanliness. And yet in another machlokas, he seems to be on Emily Post's side when it comes to determining what is the correct behavior about being a properly clean gentleman. Because take a look at this machloka, you'll see what I mean. Here we've got an amazing issue. Listen to this, Bryson. There's always a question of who comes first in issues that are nogea rights to a particular thing that begin in one place and ends another. But let's say there's a spring, and the spring comes out in the middle of your town, and that is your water source. Now, the water goes on downstream. If you overuse your water, then downstream they won't have any water, right? So how do we look at that? Is that supposed to be equally shared, and it's only right to equally share it? So it says in the Braita, if you have a ma'ayan that is part of the city park, so it was Yotze in the Bnei Ha'ir, belongs to the Bnei Ha'ir, and then it goes down a mile away, there's another town that this is their only water supply also. Now, suddenly, there's not enough water for both of you. Okay, so do we split it equally? What do we do? No, the din is that since it came out in that town, so chayehem v'chayeh acherim, look, it's a matter of whose life comes first because the other town doesn't have any water. Tough. This is our water. So we have a right to drink. Let them move away. So chayehem kodmim l'chayeh acherim. Fine. So even though there won't be any water left, where do we know that from? The pasuk says, v'chei achicha imach, that your brother shall live with you. But if it's going to affect your ability to live normally by allowing your brother to live, then you come first. So chayecha kodmim. Fine. How about if there's enough water for drinking water for people, and now it's a question of our livestock. Okay, so we have livestock, they have livestock. If we allow our livestock to live off of this water, they won't be able to have any. Tough. Bam tamu bam atachirim. So then this city's livestock comes before the others. Kodemet lebam atachirim. Okay, there's enough water for drinking water. There's enough water for livestock. But there's not enough water for laundry for both places. What about there? It's a question of our laundry or your laundry? Our laundry comes first, and your laundry is kaput. Ha! Kvisatan kodemet lekvisat acherim. So far, so good. Now the question is, what if it's an issue of their survival and our laundry? So then maybe you should say, listen, boys, so you won't do laundry. Let these people remain in their town and don't cut off their water. Okay. Chaye acherim kodmim lekvisatan, because it's v'chay achicha imachet. If this is not v'chay, so laundry is not a matter of life and death. Rabbi Yossi says, laundry is absolutely a matter of life and death. And I say, it's our laundry against your lives. Okay. Now, you must admit that Rabbi Yossi seems over here to jump to the other side of the fence. I mean, a minute ago, he's a hippie who says, you don't need to shower. And then he says, but your laundry is definitely more kosher than other people's lives. How do you square that? I mean, isn't that a stira? I mean, if Ashta Kvisa Amar Rabbi Yossi Yesh Batzav, if he's saying that not being able to do laundry is considered to be real inui nefesh, right? So if you tell me I can't shower, that's not considered to be inui nefesh. Like, how does this make sense? Guf kulo lo koshikein? Great question, right? Says the Gemara, actually, yes. You're comparing two issues, and they have very different implications. Let me tell you something. You know what they do in these situations where a community has been devastated by a hurricane or flooding or whatever? It's a great advertisement. I mean, believe me, it doesn't really come from deep concern, but the company Tide that markets the laundry soap, right, for your washing machine, Tide. So what do they have? They have trucks, these big 18-wheeler trucks. Each truck contains a tremendously powerful laundromat. So it's got 20 washing machines and 20 dryers in every truck, in two layers. They drive into a community with their trucks that has been devastated, and they provide laundry services powered by the truck for all of the people, who otherwise have nothing to wear except the same dirty clothes that they were in when they escaped their tornado. Okay. And that's based on this Gemara. Because actually, Rabbi Yossi holds laundry, not laundering, is worse than not taking a shower. And Tide actually does not provide showers. It only provides laundry services. Why is this? Because Shmuel, who is a doctor, Shmuel said, look, the question of filth has different impacts in different areas. If you're talking about arbuvita deresha, somebody who cannot keep his head clean, he doesn't comb through his hair, it gets filled with filth, it's matted hair, that ends up so filthy and so full of bacteria that it ultimately will actually blind you, so that you're constantly being afflicted with these bacteria, and in the end your eyes are going to be so worn that you'll get blind. Irbuvita demani, so if you wear filthy clothing, it leads to sha'amumita. It actually leads you to becoming, either it means literally insane or dementia, which, by the way, I mean, it's easy to see why people would feel this. As people lose their ability to function, and they start walking around never having clean clothes and so on. I'm sure Shmu has seen this as a social worker. It's just one step away from dementia, and you know what's coming. So that leads to real dementia or insanity. Arvuvita de gufa. And if your body has not been cleaned properly, and you allow weeks to go by not taking a shower, what's going to happen? You're going to get infections. You're going to get skin eruptions. Okay. I mean, there's a big difference between skin eruptions and going mad or coming to a state of dementia, right? So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying, yes, I am more concerned about the ability to do laundry than I am about taking showers. So what's so crazy about that? And therefore, there's really no problem in the shita of Rabbi Yossi. And what they say, actually, in Eretz Yisrael. They sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael to the slobs in Bavel. So they sent to them, listen, there's things that you have to be careful about, okay? Hizaru ba'arbuvita. Be careful of the way you do laundry, because you don't want to get into a situation where you're going to be affected mentally by walking around filthy. Hizaru b'chabura. Make sure that you go to Daf Yomi every day. And there should be a group of people that you're learning Torah with, that you have fun with and learning. Yes, that's very important, because if you end up being all by yourself, then you're going to go downhill. And Hizaru b'vnei aniyim. Make sure that you provide decent education for poor families who cannot afford your insane tuitions in your day schools and therefore have nowhere to go to school. The point is that those are specifically the ones that you have to take most care of. Why? Shemehem teitzei Torah. That's where you're going to have some serious Torah. All these filthy brats that are so spoiled and think everything is coming to them, they never learn anything. They're only interested in Sesame Street. But if you have people that have to deal with life, then you're going to have Torah. It says, Yizal Mayim Midal Yo. Dal Yo is a lotion of Dal. Where would the water of Torah come from? Dafka, from the most poor and the most deprived. Those are the best kids. Make sure that those are the first ones to get into your schools. Shemehem Tetzei Torah. That's that crazy, huh? All of the things you could be guaranteed that all of the things that the Gemara feels are important are the things that Jewish society refuses to deal with. What can you do? Okay, Rabosai, that was lovely, I hope. A little bit complex. It's not an easy sugya. But at least we ended up with some easy-to-follow advice, although it's a little bit difficult to turn into financially viable advice. But we hope for the best. And Shlomo Avram, Baruch Avram, I want to mention that we've got Shabbos coming up, and I want you to acknowledge that we have effectively addressed your skin condition from sitting at the edge of your chair. This is Lechavad Shabbos and Lechavad the Gemara that says we have to take very good care of our skin. So we actually finished the sugya today. Have a great Shabbos, everybody. May we be zochet to besurot tovot and to a geula shlema.